Heard 8 lessons up to this point on the home as God would have it. It's been a long time since I've heard a gospel preacher preach a lesson that is so unveiling, and explanatory of the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage. And Brother Mosier did, I think, an outstanding job in unveiling the truth and laying it out in black and white. And I'm thankful to him for that lesson. I think it's a lesson that every gospel preacher around ought to hear themselves, because it's a lesson that they either don't want to speak on, or the elders will not allow them to speak on. And I'm grateful for it, and I've got some tapes ordered, and I'm going to make sure that some people hear it. Saying all of that, getting down to the end of the lesson, and with all of the subjects that have been spoken of thus far, mine seems to be a sort of conclusion, reaching the conclusion of those things that have been detrimental to the home as God would have it. When we think of the home, to me it brings a very warm and comforting peace. It means an awful lot to me to think of my home, and I'm sure it does you as well. If we've been in the military service or maybe employed by a company which requires us to be separated from our families, we understand what it means to think about the home. I used to stand on the island of Midway while my wife was back in Arkansas and my children. And I'd walk around to the direction of my home, and I'd stand there on the beach at night thinking about a little bitty shack in Arkansas where my 3 children and my wife were. Even young people, when they go off to college, that first year is a terrible time for them. They get homesick. They call home and speak to mama and daddy. They write letters. And I have known first year college students who have taken off during the school year and drove home during the week because they wanted to see mom and dad. Home means so much to each and every one of us. It's a place where we can escape. We can escape the challenge of society. We can escape the pressure of our peers. We can evade the workplace. Home is a place where we can kick off our shoes and we can relax and we can be ourselves. It's a place where we can find encouragement, understanding, support. And when we are tired of the hustle and the bustle of the outside world and all of its demands, we know that we can go home and shut the door and shut all of that out. That's home. It's a wonderful thing to think about dad, a father. And we think about that fatherly figure, and there's a warm feeling that comes over us. We think about a dad who loves us, a dad who understands us, one who knows everything there is to know, who can do anything, and he can whip anybody on the block. He's the tower of strength in our lives. And when he's gone, that hole is never filled. It's always there as a way of remembrance. We think about Mother, that beautiful person who is the epitome of love, has the patience of Job, has the endurance of the Apostle Paul, the tenderness of Naomi. She never gets tired. She's always up when I get up in the morning, and she's always up when I go to bed at night. I don't know whenever she sleeps. And we think about all of the goodness that comes out of Mother. Glenn Campbell, several years back, sang a song. There ought to be a hall of fame for mothers. And I agree with that 100%. And it doesn't matter whether they are with us or whether they have gone on, the warm remembrance continues to grow. When we think of the beautiful gray hair, and all that they do for us when we were home. Now why? Why would anyone want to destroy something like that? Why would anyone want to tear down the structure and the purpose of the home as God has made it? It would seem that something so precious and so desirable and so needed in the lives of almost everyone, especially young people, that someone, anyone, would want to attack that and tear it down. And yet, beloved, that's exactly what has happened. It started way back in the Garden of Eden. It's not anything new. But since it is in our lives, why would anything want to destroy the home as God has ordained it to be? While it is true, yet sad, that there are those who don't recognize what's being done to the home today. They see no problem with the way that it is. While there are others that, though they recognize that there are some areas where the home is under attack, they don't know what to do about it. And still others who just don't care. But I believe that unless we recognize the problems involved, and until parents, mother and father, rise up and make the home as God would have it to be, the home will continue to disintegrate and will not fulfill its place in society. It's not anything new, as we said. We can look at worldly examples, historical examples, and find the same thing happening. One of the best examples that I know of is the nation of Rome. When Seneca, a Roman statesman, warned that Rome would fall, the people of his day snickered. And they said, "Rome fall? Not a chance. Never." To the average citizen of the Roman Empire, Rome was an impregnable city. Rome was the world. The world was Rome. And for anyone to speculate for one moment that glorious Rome would collapse was totally unthinkable. It was alive with activity. And everywhere you looked, there was progress being made. They enjoyed an explosive frenzy of building huge cities, rising marble, columns, rushing fountains up and down the street, pleasant tree-lined avenues. Everything was just right. And you're telling me that Rome is going to fall? Stories of great Roman generals had gone into battle and had been victorious over other smaller nations were being told on the street corners. The family was considered the backbone of the Roman Empire. And for anyone to think that Rome was going to fall was absolute foolishness. To every individual, Rome was the power of the world. No one can hurt us. No one can defeat us. There's no foreign nation upon the face of the earth as great as we are. But despite all of that, Rome fell. I wonder if we can draw a parallel today in our country. What could bring down a great nation such as Rome? What could bring it down to defeat? I think there's several areas that could be mentioned depending upon the material that you are reading. Gibbon's The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire is one good source of material that you might look at. But there are several things that are mentioned in the material that I have that gave way to the fall of the Roman Empire. A craze for pleasure. The failure to educate their children. Religion in total chaotic confusion. The crumbling economy because of corruption and taxes. Almost everything in the Roman Empire had a tax on it. Does that sound familiar? But there is one thing underlined and overscored by the writers that seemed to be the beginning of the fall of the Roman Empire. And that is, they had forgotten the very foundation that made it all possible. And that was the home. The most important foundation of their society. The most influential element in national greatness, the home, was the learning center for individual character, values, goals, morality, self-control, loyalty. And they had forgotten that as the home goes, so goes the nation. And as we zero in on that home today, and as we have all week, we see things in that home that brought about a decline and a fall of that great nation. Fathers begin to absent themselves from the home, going away on business trips and staying prolonged times while leaving their children and their wives at home for extended periods of time. They had become more involved in things of the world than they had the responsibilities that they had at home. And that was just the beginning. While away on these extended trips, the fathers begin to play around, mess around with other women. The women became bored at home because father wasn't there, so they began to get out into society and do things that was not custom to them. And when they would go out and leave the home alone, there the children were left to make their own decisions for themselves. And on it goes. And then soon and in place of a nice, firm, strong home where divorce was seldom seen in that society. It was almost unheard of. Divorce became an epidemic. A man by the name of Carcopino, and he quotes Seneca when he says, they divorced in order to remarry, and they married in order to divorce. Consequently, the authority of the father in the home had faded out. Instead, we see on every hand the flabby face of the son of the house. The eternal spoiled child of society had now grown accustomed to luxury and lost all sense of discipline. Another writer by the name of Marshall declared marriage had become merely a form of legalized adultery. And as a result of that, as the home went, so went Rome. As Rome went, so went the nation. And Rome fell. Can we learn anything from that? Well, it won't teach us anything if we reach the same conclusion that they reached. America will never fall. We're too great. We're too rich. You know, I'm not a prophet, but I have some awful, interesting questions I'd like to ask about the New Orleans catastrophe in light of the pre-dawn homosexual celebration they were to have the next day. I have a lot of questions that I'd like to ask somebody smarter than I am. Why did it hit New Orleans so terrible? I'm not saying God brought a miracle. I just got a lot of questions. But America can fall. And America is never too strong that if we do not get the home back as God would have it, that God can bring it down if He so chooses.
Amen.
Why is there so many attacks against the home? When you look at the home today, ask ourselves if the home is that vital glue that attaches father to his son, son to the father, the daughters to their mother, and the mothers to their daughter, and each one to each other. Is our homes today that place where physical and emotional characteristics are taught, and where they're instilled into our young people? Is it the learning respect, or is it the learning place where respect and obedience and righteous living are taught to our young people? Is our home the place where the children come home after school? Mother welcomes them at the front door, helps them with their schoolwork, shares with them the happenings of the day. And in the evening, is she at the front door when daddy comes home from a hard day work? Do they sit around a nice hot meal in the evening and talk about the day's affairs? The children talk and explain to them what happened in their life today And the parents are interested in that. Everyone feels loved and everyone feels respected. And everyone is needed by everyone else. I like what Brother Mosier said a while ago when he made me look at my wife and says, I need you. I don't do that as often as I should. If my wife had been the kind of person she normally is, she'd have been punching me. Are you listening? Or has our home become nothing more than a rest stop? The daddy's off to work, the mother's off to work, and the children come home, grab them the sandwich, and out the back door they go to whatever activity they have for the rest of the day. Is that the way our home has become today? Remember, as the home goes, so goes the nation. So goes the church. You wonder why the church is in such a bad shape today? Take a look at the homes. You can see what a church is by looking at the homes that make up the church in that locale. Why is it that the devil doesn't attack the church as a whole? Because if he attacks the families and succeeds there, he knows the church will soon be close behind. I suggest to you today that we have become so complacent in our home. We're so complacent with the status quo that we don't know whether our family is under attack or not. We have become so use to those things that the devil is using to tear it up that we've taken them for granted. I'm not going to cover the subject that Brother Mosier covered a while ago, but do you realize that divorce is one of the major attacks that the devil is using it to tear the home up? And everything that we've heard has been leaning toward the mother and the father, the man and the woman. But have you ever thought about what happens to the children? Well, I want to give you just a few things today to think about. You can find these statistics if you go up to website called fathermag.com or fathers.com. President Bush himself is using some of these same figures as he talks about the home. Listen to these. These are the results, the consequences of children who do not have a father or perhaps a mother. 63% of all young people suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are in homes without fathers. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders are from homes with one parent. 80% of all rapists are motivated with displaced anger. They come from fatherless homes. 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists are from homes without mom and dad. 71% of pregnant teenagers come from homes without fathers. 71% of all high school dropouts are without parents, father or mother. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. Now, I've got the sources from where all this comes from. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions are fatherless. 85% of all youth sitting in prisons today grew up in a fatherless home. And because only a portion of each age group grew up in a fatherless home, listen to this staggering amount. They are five times more likely to commit suicide if they don't have a father or mother. They're 32 times more likely to run away. 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. 14 more times likely to commit rape. 9 times more likely to drop out of high school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution, 20 times more likely to end up in prison. And more than half of the U.S., more than half of the juveniles executed around the world were executed in the United States, which has less than 5% of the total young people in the world. Oklahoma is number 3. We were told yesterday. 1 out of every 2 marriages in Oklahoma wind up in divorce. Do you realize that if that were to happen in any other section of society, that we'd call that an epidemic? We'd call that a crisis? And yet we take divorce and remarriage calmly. And our children are being lost because of it. That's an attack upon the home that the devil has got us to accept without too much trouble. Well, there's another attack on the home. Let me say this about my marriage. I married that little gal when she just turned 15. And what Brother Moser said about being adults sort of hit home. But I've had her, or she's had me, for 54 years. We've got 15 great-grandchildren. Not grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And if the Lord permits us, we'll live till we're 65 years married. And we'll have 25 great-grandchildren. And so divorce and remarriage can tear a home up. And it's an attack. And to say this in defense of my wife, she's never worked a day in her life outside the home. She's lived off of what I've made. She was home with my children when they came home from school, and we eat rice sometimes 3 meals a day, and I worked 2 jobs. But we never thought for a moment her going outside of the home and working while my children were home. Amen. That's one reason why I think we are together today. Divorce. Number 2, immorality. Immorality is an attack against the home of which we have become complacent. Look at homosexuality. It defies the very basis of the family as God would have it. Yet it's being normalized, made acceptable, being forced on society. individuals who are in the well-known circle, such as Rosie O'Donnell, has pressed for a campaign to legalize homosexual adoptions, which is all a part of the larger agenda to define the traditional family. It's a shame that our country has to come up with a law that says that a marriage is between Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. It's a shame. I never thought we'd see it. But it's here. And it is growing complacent. We're getting used to the idea now. Television, Hollywood, music lyrics, all kinds of songs that explicit in sex and murder and profanity, you name it, and we can hear it. He'd give me that 5 minutes. And I've got another hour and a half. No speaker after me until 2 o'clock. But I'll be through. Softcore pornography. Trashy romance novel. All of these, brethren, are in our homes. And we are becoming complacent with them. Our children have TV sets in their own bedroom. What are they watching? Do we care what they're watching? Or are we so busy? We also have immorality, which I just said. We have the problem of feminism. Started back in the early 1970s. If you want to know what the feminist movement is today, it's not just a wife or a lady being feminine. The feminist movement today wants to do away with the home. They want to get the woman to feel as though she's inferior to the man when she's a wife. They want them to get outside of the house and turn their children over to babysitters and daycare centers and go out and compete with the men. Show them that you're just as good as they are. Well, most women are better than men are. But they're not inferior. And a lot of things of which they are fighting for, most of us can agree with. But we cannot agree with the right to have an abortion or to murder their children or being encouraged to exchange God-given responsibilities and selfish ambitions. Oh, there's so many things that... Think about materialism. When we think about materialism, even our kids can get credit cards today. And a lot of young families have 3 and 4 maxed out credit cards. Most wives have to work, or feel that they do, in order to have a standard of living. I never had a credit card when I grew up. I never had a $900 house payment when I grew up. But that's what they want today. Most of our young people want what mama and daddy had after 45 years of marriage. They want it when they get married. Materialism. And we are growing up with it. And money has become the main issue. In fact, finances is one of the major causes of divorce today. There's so much more that I wanted to say, and Wayne reminded me that most of us have more than we had to say. And so I want to close with this prayer. Most of us have read it in our bulletins, seen it on television, heard it somewhere, Paul Harvey. It was said in the Kansas legislature by a Christian church preacher by the name of Joe Wright. He said in 6 short weeks, the Central Christian Church had logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 of those called responding in the negative. Paul Harvey commented on it. Listen to what it says. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe on those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and we call it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn children and called it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Doesn't that sound like us? And we have become so complacent and so used to having things that way that we have forgot what this book says about the home as God would have it. And that Christian minister, that Christian church minister says this, search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guided and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. We could also say, direct our fathers and our mothers back to the center of the Bible. To teach our children, to raise our children in the ways and in the nature of God. We have so many attacks against the home today that we need to open our eyes and rise up and fight the battle. How's your home today? Is it as God would have it to be? If not, start today. Determine today as mom and dad, husband and wife, that your home is going to be as God would have it to be. If you're here today and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we're going to sing a song. It's going to encourage you to respond to it at that time. Every heart will cry, and it will urge you to make the decision today to begin living the kind of life that God would have you to live. And of course, if you're here today and your home has not been what it should be, then why not today? Start. Determine in your heart and with your promise to God that you will be what God wants you to be. Would you come as we stand and as we sing?